Welcome to Cookbook Club. We are home cooks from Portland, Oregon. Every month we choose a cookbook, make lots of recipes from it, and then get together to share some of the dishes that we made. We talk about what worked, what didn't, and decide whether this is a cookbook we can't live without.
I'm Sarah Gray.
And I'm Renee Wilkinson. Get ready to bake because today we are digging into 100 Cookies by Sarah Kiefer.
Just in time for the holiday cookie season. Sarah Kiefer is a self-taught baker living in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the author of the popular Vanilla Bean blog. She's written two baking cookbooks, and she's known for her pan-banging cookie method, which we'll talk about.
This book has a real big range of cookie recipes, and obviously there are 100 cookies in it, plus accompaniments and lots of extras.
100 cookies. How many of these have you cooked?
I've baked a lot from this book. I got it during the pandemic, and I couldn't ask for a better cookbook really to come out during the pandemic because those COVID carbs were not going to put themselves on by themselves. They needed a little help.
Yes.
And this was the perfect book to do that.
So she kicks off this book with four different chocolate chip cookie recipes.
I don't get why our country is so obsessed with chocolate chip cookies. I probably have offended 95% of our listeners, but I'm glad that she gets it out of the way at the beginning of the cookbook. I just find chocolate chip cookies to be a little bit boring. There, I said it.
I agree. I have made all four of them, and I think they are okay, with the exception of the thin and crispy chocolate chip cookie, which I think is bad.
Oh, no.
I should say that I'm really not on team thin and crispy chocolate chip cookie to begin with.
Okay, full disclosure.
Full disclosure. That was probably not going to win me over, even if it was the best recipe ever. But she has you actually add water to the batter to make them spread more.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that one. I thought the other ones were all okay, not great. I think I also agree with you on a chocolate chip cookie. Like, the platonic ideal of a chocolate chip cookie to me is not a classic chocolate chip cookie. Like, I'm not aiming for the sort of like Chips Ahoy, Otis Spunkmeyer, whatever. Like, my two go-to chocolate chip cookies are actually from a book called Good to the Grain by Kim Boyce, the whole wheat chocolate chip cookie. And that recipe was reprinted in the Food 52 Genius Recipes cookbook as well. It's only whole wheat flour.
Interesting.
So you get a much nuttier cookie. And I think those are really, really good. But like, they're not a classic chocolate chip cookie because I agree with you, they're a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. And the other is an oatmeal chocolate chip cookie from the Grand Central Baking book, which is really, really good. Like, it has lots of oats in it. And I also think that recipe makes the very best cookie dough to eat straight out of the freezer.
Well, that sounds great.
With the raw oats in it still, it's really, really good.
I also prefer chocolate chip cookies that have some texture to it. My go-to recipe is from All Recipes, the website. Mm-hmm. It has a bazillion reviews on it. We'll post it in the show notes. But it's a chewy oatmeal chocolate chip cookie.
That sounds good.
I think it has like 3 cups of oatmeal in it, too. It's like mostly oatmeal.
It's a lot of oats.
And a little bit of flour holding it together.
I think a chocolate chip cookie needs that. It just needs something else because it's not that exciting.
There are 4 recipes in here to choose from. So Probably one of them will fit the bill for most people.
So she kicks off the book this way, and we've just torn her apart for her 4 sort of boring chocolate chip cookies. But I think that kind of brings me to what I think is the strength of this cookbook, which is her ideas. She has some really great ideas for some really original cookies in this book. And so I don't think that the execution on the classics is really the reason to get this book. Like, this, don't buy this because you want to perfect your chocolate chip cookie. Buy this so you can like have your mind blown by something like a toasted sesame cookie.
Yes.
Or a Neapolitan cookie, or, I mean, where do I even go from there? A smoky butterscotch cookie?
I totally agree. I think the range of cookies in here is what really sold me on the cookbook. I think if you're going to own a book that is really narrowly focused on one thing, whether it's cakes or cookies or salads or whatever that thing is, I totally support owning that one narrow cookbook. And if you're going to own one cookie cookbook, I would say this is the one to make sure you have because of that range of recipes.
It's really good and really some really original stuff in here.
So maybe the first 4 out of the 100 are just kind of like, okay, you want a chocolate chip cookie, but I bought it for the other.
And could she have written this book without including at least one?
Oh, yeah. And no. And you're not going to have one that everybody's going to love, so I get why she did 4.
Sure.
But I bought it for the other 96 cookies.
Absolutely.
Let's talk for a minute about the regular recipes, because she does have some, like, ginger snaps and
oatmeal raisin.
you know, things we're used to seeing. And I've cooked several of those, and I have thought they have all been really good, solid cookies. Snickerdoodles, like ginger molasses cookies. Mm-hmm.
There are some good classics for sure. And she's got a very large brownie section. There are some classics in there as well. One of the cookies that I love out of this book, the one that I've made the most, is the chocolate sugar cookie, which I'm not a sugar cookie fan generally. I think they're too plain for me. But these ones have cocoa in them. And so they're a chocolate sugar cookie. The texture on these things is incredible. It's like super soft, a tiny bit of chewiness, and they get like these little crinkly cracks on the top while they're cooking. I highly recommend that you use the suggestion she gives, like on the variation. When you roll the balls in sugar before you cook them, you add cardamom to the sugar.
Ooh.
And it's a really nice combination of flavors with the chocolate and the cardamom. And then it's way more interesting than a sugar cookie. And I'm like all about them.
I love that. I think sugar cookies are super boring.
Yeah.
And my kids love them, of course, because we can't all agree on the same thing. But I have tried the chocolate sugar cookie recipe and we did all like it.
I make them in big batches. I think they're so, so good. The second one that I make, that I have made quite a few times, is the bourbon sablés with chocolate.
Mm.
They're really tasty. It's basically a shortbread cookie with chocolate chunks in it.
Well, I support anything that has bourbon in it. So I would happily eat a bourbon sablé. That sounds amazing.
They're so good with the chocolate chunks, and they're just like the edges are rolled in turbinado sugar.
Ooh, so good.
Really, really tasty.
Did you bring that one to our cookbook club?
I didn't.
Exchange?
Melissa Chan did.
Okay.
And they were phenomenal.
Such winners.
Really, really good.
I love grown-up cookies. And I don't mean like ones that have ingredients in it that grow on plants with seven leaves, but more like grown-up flavors.
Right.
You know, like let's put some bourbon and some sablés and sesame seeds in a cookie.
That toasted sesame cookie is so good.
Have you made it with white sesame seeds and black sesame seeds?
I have.
It is worth it. They look
so
beautiful. They're
so visually stunning.
And they taste delicious.
They're so good. Now, that recipe is listed in the pan banging section, but I've never made them that way because I'm not sure I'm on team pan banging cookie.
Well, yeah. I mean, just
who
even
has
saying
time? And then what? It has ripples. I mean, I get it. It's her trademark, but I just don't need my cookies to have ripples in them.
Can we also talk about the term pan banging?
Yes.
Like, does anyone else hear that and think, like, it's do a double take? Like, what did they just say?
I don't know what else you'd say because it's also very descriptive.
They're baking, you pull the pan out, you bang it real hard on the counter, and you put
it
back in.
And then you put it back in. And you do that multiple times during the process.
And why would anyone do that?
It's a great question, Renee.
It makes a really visually impressive rippled cookie that
they
is
ripple
huge.
When they're still soft, and then the ripples harden as they cook. The other thing about the pan banging recipes is that she calls for you to make them huge.
Yes.
Like they're like the size of a bakery cookie versus the size of a home cookie.
Yeah, I share that same criticism that I think that definitely the pan banging cookies are humongous. I think there's like four on a cookie sheet.
So huge.
That's really big. But in general, I have found for our household anyways, that most of the cookie recipes, the portion size is way too big. And so after making, you know, 15 or 20 different recipes, I just across the board will only make a much smaller size and then watch the cooking time knowing that it's going to cook faster.
I generally use the same cookie scoop to make cookies no matter what, unless I'm going to make them really small so I can fit them in a lunchbox. Yeah, they're too big.
I do think it's worth it to own multiple cookie scoops. Side note, like I finally bought one for myself, just a regular cookie scoop a year or two ago, and I've made a bazillion cookies over the years. So I don't know why it took me that long to buy one, but it's a little bit too big for some recipes. And so I think that you do need like
a couple different sizes.
Yeah. If you're going to bake a lot and you're baking cookies a lot,
it's just a handy thing to have.
Yeah. I'm good at giving advice and not taking my own advice. But yeah, I think that multiple cookie scoops would be good. So you have the option to make them. Like if you're making them for company, you know, people are coming over for dinner and it's like a nice dessert or something, sure. Or you're throwing a party and entertaining.
Right.
But for the everyday home cook who's making this for themselves, their friends, their household, kids especially, like I do not want my kids eating like a
the equivalent of four cookies in one cookie.
Yeah. I tried the pan banging method on a couple of her pan banging cookie recipes and it just didn't really work for me. And I felt like I was following it well, but it must have been something with my technique that wasn't giving them the pretty ripple.
Or your oven, maybe?
Maybe I just wasn't taking out enough.
You need to really bang them.
taking out all of my frustrations with the world by baking them hard enough on the stovetop. But I can see how if you get it right and they have the ripple and you're bringing it somewhere where people are going to totally appreciate that, that would blow them away. And also I can see how it totally broke the internet when she put it up on Instagram or wherever, because it just does look so pretty.
Right.
But for me, it's not that practical. She has a sugar cookie where you can mix in some sprinkles into it. My kids really liked that recipe. That was a fun one for them. Again, the pan banging method did not work so well for us, but the cookie itself was still delicious and it doesn't need to have ripples for us to be excited about it. I try to limit how much dairy I eat, and I have made these with vegan butter and they've turned out fine.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a real crapshoot when it comes to baking recipes. You just never know if it's going to work. When our cookbook club did this book, it was our first in-person meeting following the pandemic. We did a cookie exchange and everybody brought one or two batches of these cookies. And it was awesome.
It was brilliant.
It was so great.
And we all brought our own container to take them home in, too. And it was such a great party idea.
It was really cool.
I mean, for people who like to bake, like I would happily make one or a double or even a triple batch of cookies and bring them and divide them up, because I love to make them, but I don't want to eat 24 cookies.
Right.
Was there a cookie at Cookbook Club that like won that cookbook club?
It was a strong showing. And we had such a wide variety of things there. And the thing that comes to mind is the Rocky Road cookie, which is one of those pan banging cookies. And I know I just came out against pan banging cookies, but in that case, there's like marshmallow in the middle of it and it has sliced almonds on top. And it was really beautiful. The melty marshmallow and the almond and then the dark chocolate of the cookie. That was a really gorgeous cookie. I'll concede that one.
Yeah, that one is worth it. And I mean, to be fair, like you can make all the pan banging cookies and then just not do the pan banging part.
Which so, is I mean, what I've done with the toasted sesame.
Yeah, me too. I don't try to do the pan banging thing anymore. Damn, I got to make those cookies now because those toasted sesame cookies are really good and I haven't made them in a while.
They're so good.
In terms of like grown up cookie flavors, that one is a really great one. The bourbon sablés that we talked about are another really good one. And then who brought the raspberry?
The raspberry rye cookie. It was Melissa Chan again.
She brought two cookies?
She did, because she made the raspberry rye cookies.
Oh, right.
And it calls for fresh raspberries in the dough. And the fresh raspberries just sort of came apart in the oven and they made the cookies too wet. And so the cookies didn't stay together. And so she was bummed because her, you know, cookie for Cookbook Club hadn't come together.
She considered it a fail.
She considered it a fail.
And I think she was even thinking about throwing them out. Which...
And then we ate them and they were incredible.
So good.
I mean, they were messy, but they were awesome.
They were totally worth it. Of course, I would have had the same reaction if I took my cookies out and it looked like raw dough in the middle of them. I mean, I think she even increased the baking time to try to get them to bake and
to
they just
dry out. Yeah,
they were too soggy.
It was just so wet. It's almost like it needs a freeze-dried raspberry in there, but man, they were good.
Yeah.
And so then she went on to make the bourbon sablés to sort of try to redeem herself, which of course she did not need to do, but she knocked it out of the park that day. I think one of the cookie recipes in which she takes that sort of concept of the sort of adult flavor maybe a little too far is the smoky butterscotch cookie.
That was not a great one.
They are weird.
It was weird. And maybe she put it in there knowing that it was weird. And it
like
calls,
it pushes the envelope right to the edge.
Of like making something that's traditionally sweet into just totally not even sweet territory.
They have liquid smoke in them,
which is extremely strong.
And they have smoked salt on top.
It was the liquid smoke, though, that pushed it over the edge. I think if you put smoky salt, that would totally be fine.
Yes.
But liquid smoke is like so
it's
potent.
Very potent. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, we ate them all.
Because we didn't kick that out of bed,
I think,
as Rebecca
we must
would say.
Have sort of a no cookie left behind policy in my house.
I understand that,
and I'm using the word we, but
I feel like there is a way somehow that I could keep messing with that recipe to make
cut down the liquid smoke is the first thing.
First step. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then maybe there's something else that you could put in there. Like, I feel like Portland is almost the birthplace of where people started putting like bacon on things that you're not supposed to put bacon on.
Yep.
It's like we have voodoo donuts and they put bacon on maple bars and it was like, oh my gosh. And
this
like,
seems like
bacon
it's
on
totally
everything.
In that vein.
Yeah.
If you left out the liquid smoke and you put bacon on top.
Or bacon in it.
I don't hate that idea.
Stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Dropcloth Samplers is a line of hand-drawn embroidery samplers, printed and ready for you to jump in and start stitching right away. Each pattern is hand-drawn by Rebecca Ringquist in her Portland, Oregon studio and printed for you to embroider with your own color and thread choices, like coloring book pages, but for embroidery. You can find Dropcloth Samplers on Etsy or on Instagram at Dropcloth. You like the brownie cookies, don't you?
I really liked the brownie cookies. I think not everybody in Cookbook Club has loved those who have made it, but I loved it and my kids loved it too. And I thought it was really easy. And it did to me have a chewy, like brownie texture on the inside. But, you know, the edges were still kind of crispy like a cookie, or crispy enough that it like held its shape and it's not mushy. I would absolutely make those again. I thought they were great.
And have you done the peanut butter swirl variation?
I have done the peanut butter swirl variation. And I mean, it's almost like two cookies, those recipes. Like, yeah. As soon as you put the peanut butter in there, all you taste is peanut butter.
Right. That makes sense.
And the great thing about the brownie cookie is that it's just this really rich chocolate flavor. So I think you kind of have to pick your lane there.
Right. Right.
But it looks beautiful. Also, when you put the swirl of peanut butter in it, it just looks like a visually beautiful cookie.
Right. I just recently made those for the first time. I thought they were really good.
Uh-huh.
Solid, very chocolatey, held their shape, had that sort of shiny exterior, mm-hmm. which I thought really evokes a brownie.
Did you do the peanut butter variation?
No, but maybe I'd try it in the future.
I only
stock like natural peanut butter, and I wasn't sure if that would work, so I just didn't go there.
That might be why mine turned out so peanut buttery, because I only stock natural peanut butter too. I did only half the batch that way, though, which I thought was a good way to test it. So I did, you know, maybe even 75% of the batch is just the regular chocolate brownie cookie. And then just a few of them, I tried the peanut butter swirl because I knew I would be the only person in my household who had the potential to like that.
She transitions into the book, into the 100 recipes, away from sort of a traditional cookie and into brownies and bars.
Mm-hmm. I already have a beloved chocolate brownie recipe, which is the Katharine Hepburn brownies. And I originally came across that in the giant yellow gourmet cookbook, which you can also find probably on Epicurious and epicurious.com. And then the New York Times also has a copy
has
of it, too.
It, yeah.
And it's just like a classic, excellent brownie. And like, why fix
Does
something
it have
that's
nuts
not
in it?
Broken? It has an option to put nuts in it, which I appreciate because, again, like not everyone in my house is on team nuts in their brownies.
Right.
And I'm not talking about the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that you need it and it adds something like light and a new texture.
I made the white chocolate brownies. I made them 3 hours ago and we just ate some.
Yeah. Well, we decided that we needed snacks when we record Cookbook Club because we just get so darn hungry. I like how they're a little bit chewy in some places and soft in others. But I am also not a huge white chocolate fan. And so they're just a little bit like one note.
Right.
Is that what a blondie is? Or is blondie something else?
I think blondies are different. There are two blondie recipes in here. One of them has chocolate in it and one of them doesn't.
Okay.
But it's like chunks of chocolate in more of a cookie batter. I mean, I almost think of a blondie as being like chocolate chip cookie dough without the chocolate chips spread into a pan and baked into a bar. There's a recipe in here for a grapefruit cake bar, and I made it.
How did it turn out?
I had an abundance of grapefruit. Well, it wasn't a bar. It was a full-on cake. I mean, I made it in a 9x13 dish as called for, and it got so tall, it filled the whole thing. It was just basically a sheet cake, and the texture was not any different from a sheet cake. So I think of a bar as something much denser and much lower that's got more of the texture of a cookie, but this didn't. It was just cake. And then you do a grapefruit glaze on the top, and so you poke a bunch of holes with a toothpick, sort of like like a tres leches cake.
Is a drip cake also, or
drizzle?
Yeah,
I think it's the same thing. Yeah. And so you just want that to like soak into the cake.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a cake with a glaze on it. Like it wasn't a bar. I don't know what about it makes it a bar.
Was the batter thick like a cookie or was it really thin like a cake?
I think it was much cakier. So whether that's operator error or not, I don't know. They look much denser in the picture in the book.
Did it taste good? Like, would you make it again?
It was pretty good. It's very acidic because it's grapefruit. And then it's like heavily sweetened because grapefruit is so tart.
I like grapefruit. I do not like zesting grapefruit.
Uh-huh.
I find it to be a huge pain in the butt because grapefruits are so smooth. They're not like bumpy and coarse the way that an orange and a lemon and a lime is. And so even limes are a little bit
smooth. Harder to zest.
Yeah. So if you want to get a significant amount of zest off of a grapefruit, I say pull up a stool and get real comfortable because you're going to be there for a while. And, okay. and you need so much of the zest, I found, to make it taste like grapefruit.
Right. It's not as potent.
Yeah.
As like a lemon zest.
Mm-hmm. But I love the idea of it. And she has a lot of other like creative recipe ideas in here too that I would have never thought of on my own. So I appreciate that she's trying to make things with grapefruit, because I do think that grapefruit is underrepresented in the dessert
absolutely.
World.
So I want you to talk about the Neapolitan cookie.
The Neapolitan cookie for me is like the ultimate cookie recipe from this cookbook. It is my favorite. I love those sesame cookies, but the Neapolitan cookie to me is even better than that. My kids love it. They love eating it. They love making it. I love making it. It's visually striking. If you use the really, really dark cocoa powder, too, that's like black.
So it's sugar cookie dough. And then you split the dough into three parts.
Yes.
You add this black cocoa powder, or you can just add regular cocoa powder and it won't be as dark. And then you add freeze dried strawberries to the other one.
Yeah.
And you take a little of each and you roll them together in a ball.
Exactly. It is so smart. And really, you could come up with a lot of different fun, I think, combinations of that. And since this book has come out, I've seen other bakers doing spin-offs, I think, of it, where they're taking three different doughs that are also like really vivid colors and mixing them together.
Because it's her sugar cookie dough, and the one that I love is the chocolate sugar cookie, it does that same thing when you cook it, where it gets like this beautiful texture on the top.
I really loved when I was making it, experimenting with the way that I was rolling them too. If you take three different balls and you kind of smush them together so they represent thirds and then roll it out, versus making them three strips and then pressing them together and rolling it out like that, you can really change what the pattern on the cookie is, which is kind of cool and fun.
That's cool.
That was a great project for kids. It's hard to find a recipe, I think, that is that visually stunning and that delicious and that fun
to
make.
Simple, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not difficult.
It is not a fussy recipe at all. It is totally worth the effort. One thing that comes to mind when I think about that cookie, and generally most of the cookies in this cookbook, is that they are so rich.
Because they are more than half butter.
Yes. I mean, at least two sticks of butter, I think, in most of the recipes.
Yeah.
And like, at least two times as much vanilla as you would put in any other cookie recipe. So, of course, they're delicious.
This is expensive baking between the butter and the vanilla.
It is expensive and then also just overly rich. As a home cook, I just can't handle that much butter. It's just like uncle.
If you eat a couple of these, you are going to be done for the day. Like, it's so heavy and rich.
They're great cookies to give as a gift, I think, to people and share with people who are coming over to eat a meal with you. I wish that I knew the ideal way to cut back on the butter. I mean, I can cut back on the vanilla. That's pretty easy. But when you start cutting back on the butter, you really start to throw off the ratios when you're baking, because baking is really more of a science than an art.
Right.
And so I don't know enough there to know how I can scale back on the butter and still make them turn out right. So I need to experiment more with that. There are certain times a year where we want like extra rich food. And I feel like right now, going into the holiday season, is one of those times where it's like, sure, bring on the butter, like just keep piling it on and we'll deal with these problems next year.
Right.
So is this a cookbook that you think you'll bake from much this holiday season, or have you been baking much from it?
There's no real traditional Christmas cookies in the book, but I think there's all kinds of things you could do. Like you could, for instance, make that chocolate sugar cookie, and instead of rolling it in sugar, you could roll it in crushed up candy canes.
Oh, that's a great
idea. You know, you could really make them more seasonal. The bourbon sablés would be great for like a Christmas party or, you know, some kind of gathering.
She has an orange almond shortbread cookie in here. That could be really fun for the holidays. We make thumbprint cookies around the holidays. My kids really love that. So she has a recipe for thumbprints in here that's really great, totally solid.
We should also say that Sarah Kiefer, her second book is a holiday baking book. I would say if you're looking for more of like those real traditional holiday cookie recipes, maybe seek that one out instead of this one. This one's a little bit more of a year-round thing, especially because there's a whole section in here that's fruit cookies, and some of them are using fresh fruit. I would say there's something in this to make in every season.
Yeah, she has a whole section in here that's called mix and match. That's basically cookie sandwiches, whether it's cookie with cream in the middle or cookies with ice cream in the middle. That's a really fun thing to do either, you know, in the winter, or if the ice cream, you could do that in the summer. So I think she has a lot of good ideas on how to turn everyday cookies into something that feels new and fun.
I have made the macaron recipe. which is something I have made before. It's a little intimidating, I feel like, for a lot of people who maybe don't bake a ton. For me, I've only made them twice ever, and I consider myself a big baker.
There are a lot of steps.
Takes time.
And you have to pipe them.
You do have to pipe them.
I mean, there's reasons why.
But I thought these came out really great. I think they were like almost more idiot proof or something. The last time I made them, which was a number of years ago, and it was some different recipe that I don't remember now, but I thought they were much more finicky. And these seemed pretty easy. You know, the thing about the macaron when you make it is that it's a basically like a meringue mixture. You pipe it onto a baking sheet and then it has to sit out for like hours to form a skin, mm-hmm. basically, before you put it in the oven. But they were so nice and chewy. She has a filling that's like a rhubarb filling, which I didn't make. I just made like a simple buttercream for mine. And everybody loved them. If you want to try a macaron, do this recipe because I think it's pretty good. It is a really beautiful book.
The photography is gorgeous. I love the approach. It's all about the cookies. There's not a lot of like extra props and things that I tend to find distracting.
And it's pink with metallic gold accents on the front of it, which just always like sort of perks me up when yes. I pull it out to make something.
I mean, it feels like you're walking into a bakery, really, when you see the book and you open it up.
Yeah, very colors. Cheery.
I like that it has a little bookmark because usually I have it bookmarked in one place that's like my cookies on deck, like the next recipe that we're going to try to make something from.
That's great.
If you're curled up this winter drinking some tea on the couch and just want something really fun and warm to flip through, this is a beautiful book just to flip through and like look at all the cookies and feel like you're choosing from a fancy bakery.
It's just really pretty.
It's like window shopping for cookies. So does this book earn a spot on your cookbook shelf?
Oh, yeah. There's enough unique recipes in here that I want to be able to get to that. And it's pretty. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it stays.
Okay.
How about you?
It definitely earns a spot on my cookbook shelf. I don't bake from it all the time, but, you know, I have baked from it a lot over the last year that I've had it, and there's still half the recipes in it I'm still really excited to get to.
Yeah.
And there are just so many solid. I mean, if you can get 20 solid cookie recipes in one cookbook, that totally earns a spot.
Totally. That's a lot of really good material.
And maybe someday we'll all be like having parties and life will be like some version of more normal and birthday yeah. parties and going to picnics and right. bringing cookies and sharing them with people. And then I'll have even more motivation to cook those other 50 recipes.
Exactly. I like that idea.
I feel like I need to go eat a salad after talking about all of that.
So much butter.
Butter. Next month, we will be cooking from Vietnamese Cooking Any Day by Andrea Nguyen. We figure we're all going to be ready to reset our cooking and lighten things up a little bit after we get past the holiday season.
Cook along with us between now and then. Just tag us on Instagram at Cookbook Club Show or send us a voice memo or a comment at cookbookclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us online at cookbookclub.show.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next one. And leaving us a review on places like Apple Podcasts really helps other home cooks find us too.
Happy holidays and happy baking.
Happy baking. Bye.
Bye.